This is a rebellion, isn't it?
I call it aggressive negotiations.
The garbage will do!
Hi, welcome to episode 4 of the Trash Compactor podcast, our monthly look at the Star Wars fandom through the female perspective. I'm Roan, and I'm here with...
MC.
This month, we're continuing our look at Rey. Our roundtable last month was so expansive that we broke it into two pieces. So later on, you'll be hearing us talk with Rex Luscus and April again about some awesome things about Rey that we didn't get to last time, like ships and what we expect to see going forward in episode 8. But before we get started, we wanted to talk a little bit about spoilers.
Yeah, speaking about episode 8, you know.
Speaking of episode 8, yeah.
Yeah.
We have an official spoiler policy here, which is we don't, as a general rule. Anything that is just a rumor or anything like that, you won't hear us talk about directly.
Yeah. Basically, if it hasn't been released by Lucasfilms, we're not going to be discussing it.
Exactly. I think once or twice we've like linked to something and been like, okay, but this is a spoiler. Or at least like this is what we consider a spoiler. And so it's kind of a hot button issue. And
yeah.
I know people approach it differently. I know for me, here's the thing. I am normally like super, super rabidly anti-spoiler. Like, do not tell me anything I don't want to know. Like with Rogue One, at first I was like, I don't want to know characters' names. I don't want to know anything about them. Don't tell me anything. Of course, now that they've been released officially, I've kind of been getting into it more a little bit. But I'm finding with episode 8, it's harder for me to avoid them than usual.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's just because we, you know, have different dashboards on Tumblr. But I have actually not had a lot of trouble avoiding spoilers for episode 8, which is really funny because I do the news.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't mean that I'm having a hard time avoiding them, like I'm stumbling across them accidentally. I mean, like, for the first time ever, it's been really hard to not go seeking them out.
Oh, okay, yes. I totally understand. Now, for me, I have been a spoiler whore since probably about 2000, back when I was in the Buffy fandom. I discovered that rumors and spoilers were a thing, and basically for every show that I've been into since then, I've wanted to find out what's going on. But with Star Wars, actually, I have no real desire to look up anything about episode 8. And when it came to episode 7, it was really easy to avoid them because I had so little... I couldn't believe that the movie was happening. Like, we've already talked about this before.
Yeah,
that
we kind of snuck up on us.
Yeah, we knew what was happening, but, yeah, all of a sudden it was there. And I think, like, maybe, like, a week before, I had found out, like, a couple of small things about it. Like, I had seen Han Solo's page from the character, like, there was, like, an encyclopedia that they had come out with, and the big spoiler was right on the first page was how he had become a father, but it didn't say who his kid was. So I immediately thought it was Rey. I thought that that's what that was confirming, but you know, I was wrong. And also I had heard about the Rey action figure that had the lightsaber.
Oh, that's no fun.
Yeah. Cause I guess the, like some Walmart employee or something had opened up a box they weren't supposed to and realized that it was filled with these Rey figures, that it was the Resistance Rey when she's in the outfit that she meets Luke in. And
right.
So it comes with the lightsaber and people are like, and they took a picture of it and I was like, isn't this weird? So that's how that came out, that she used the lightsaber in it. But
that was such a great surprise in the movie. That sucks.
It didn't actually give away as much as you would think. So, I mean, like, that moment still played out really well. But, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, if you pursue spoilers, because, I mean, I'm sure people found out more. you would lose that moment where, you know, the lightsaber starts shaking and then it, you know, flies to Rey. And I mean, what about, like, the ultimate spoiler moment of Luke, I am your father, like, would it have that same impact if you were, if you hadn't seen Star Wars and you were reading online for the first time? By the way, Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father. It doesn't mean anything.
Well, I'm really curious. And hello, listeners. If you knew that spoiler going into Empire, and, you know, if you're of a certain age, how could you not? How did that scene play out for you? Like, write us and tell us at the Trash Compactor Podcast at gmail.com. Tell us how Luke, I'm your father, was for you if you knew going in that he was Luke's father. Because it was fucking shocking.
Of course, this is the whole reason why the Machete Order has started to gain traction. Because people want to retain that secret.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because Mark Hamill on Twitter is like death on spoilers. Like, he hates them.
Oh, and he's a massive troll, too.
Well, he is, but at the same time, he's very upfront that he will not spoil anything because he hates that. He doesn't even like it, like, when people post behind-the-scene pictures from old movies. He kind of feels like, to a certain extent, it starts spoiling the magic of the movies.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, just the other day, somebody posted a link of how that he wasn't actually necessarily doing all those handstands in Empire. Which, I mean, I kind of figured because that's not a handstand form that he's using there. But he was like, you know, hey, like, is there any magic left? He was a little bit grumpy about it.
So
he's like major, major death on spoilers. And, of course, he's the person that everyone is trying to get to spoil things.
Yeah.
So you kind of run that risk, but this time around, like, for example, when they were filming in Ireland, every time, because I have spoilers blocked on my Tumblr Dash, and every time it would come up that, like, Star Wars spoilers has been blocked, oh, the temptation to click was so overwhelming. And a couple of times I did, and I actually did read some of the spoilers. The costume spoiler was the one that I read and went, oh yes, I'm so glad I read that.
I've heard a couple of things, but nothing that I would really term as, like, spoilers. I mean, like, things like costumes, I don't really count as spoilers. I mean, that's, you know, it's, we know they're all going to have new costumes because that happens in, like, every single movie.
Well, yeah, this article in particular was very detailed. About some of the costumes.
And I'm trying to think of during the prequels if I had come across any spoilers. I remember reading rumors and foilers. Like, there was, like, this whole rumor going around during Attack of the Clones that it was going to be a love triangle.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, like, because, I mean, they knew that there had to be a romance in it, and they figured that it was not going to go smoothly. And people didn't actually guess that it was going to be, like, a forbidden love, like, the Jedi were not allowed to. So people were guessing that, like, Obi-Wan and Anakin were going to both have feelings for Padme.
Well, I mean, they totally did, but OT3 roots are showing.
Yeah, as portrayed in the movie, it was not overt. Yeah, and that basically that this would be what caused the split between Anakin and Obi-Wan, that they would be fighting over Padme. So this was the rumors that I heard. I guess it must have been in 2001.
I will have to try and find this, but there is an article that someone has scanned. It's on Tumblr about speculation about Return of the Jedi.
Oh.
And it is fucking insane.
I did hear that there was a rumor going around that Boba Fett was going to be Luke's mother.
Yes, Boba Fett. The rumor was that Boba Fett was Luke's mother, that Darth Vader had been lying, that he wasn't lying, that there were clones involved somewhere. I'll have to try and see if I can find it and put it in the show notes because it was bonkers. I mean, just absolutely... Wow, that's... I think it'll be interesting, as much speculation as there's been about Episode 8, to go back and see what actually happens and, like, see how it all shakes out.
I think probably what my policy is going to be for this is I won't look at the stuff beforehand, but maybe I'll, like, set up a bookmark folder, so I'll, like, save all of this stuff and then look back at it after I see the movie just to see how the rumors develop.
That's a good idea. Yeah, I the temptation is so... 'cause, well, I mean, part of the... Okay, I will admit, before 7, the only thing that roped me in... And this was, again, like maybe a week or two before it came out, was when we were all going, why the fuck is there no trace of Luke Skywalker in anything? What the hell is going on? And that I might have kind of tried to find out some information, like, where is he? What happened? And some of the speculation I found there was like, no, never mind. I don't want to know. Don't tell me. Because that's terrible. I don't want to know. Because, of course, you know, like a lot of people were like, he's gone evil. You know, he's he's dead. That's why.
Then there were a lot of rumors that he was Kylo.
I since I wasn't paying any attention to casting, I wondered that for a little bit, actually.
I was going to say, I think companies are becoming a lot more savvy when it comes to spoilers. Because, I mean, I don't want to say in the early days of the internet, because that sounds like when dinosaurs roamed the earth. But
it was. You know, I was there.
Yeah, I mean, in like the turn of the millennium, it was a lot easier to find like complete synopses for movies or television shows because it wasn't as closely monitored. And now studios have realized that the internet is a thing, and people will send this shit out everywhere if we let them. So they're keeping all of this shit under lock and key.
Well, I don't
scripts
know. I was gonna say, like, I don't know if you remember Mark Hamill talking about his script during the celebration panel.
Like,
it was on an iPad essentially, and the password was a gazillion lines long. And nobody could get into it except for him. And
I mean, they're really locking that stuff down. And these days, you can't be like a janitor who will just walk into a room and be like, "Hey, there's a copy of the movie sitting there. I'm gonna watch it and then tell everybody about it." I'm pretty sure that's how some spoilers have come out. It had to at some point. Now all of this stuff is just, they know that people are clamoring for this kind of stuff. Right. I mean, now spoilers are a thing. Like, that's, like, you can use the phrase spoilers in an everyday conversation.
Yeah.
And people will know what you're talking about.
People know what you mean, yeah.
It's not an internet thing anymore.
Like, people will say, "Don't spoil me, I haven't watched that episode yet."
Yeah. But I think if it's aired... Fuck you. You have to watch things. I know some people who like live overseas and they don't want me to talk about something that aired a year ago. And it's like, you got to figure out a way to, I'm not going to spoiler alert something that, came out months ago. I'm right. Sorry, that's just not going to happen. Like, maybe the day... A day or a day or two after it's come out, then I'll put spoiler warnings on it. But eventually, you gotta watch it. Like, I'm sorry, Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father if you haven't seen it yet.
Rosebud is a sled, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, and just for our spoiler policy, we're not going to be discussing rumors or outright spoilers, but the day Rogue One comes out, we will be doing a reaction.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say, when something has come out, we're going to be talking about stuff. And we'll...
Fair game.
We'll make it very clear, like, hey, this Rogue One reaction episode is all about Rogue One, and therefore it is full of spoilers. Yeah. Have we said everything we need to say about spoilers?
I think we did. Yeah, I think it's time that we move on with the news.
Right. Here's the news.
This is MC, and this is what's happening in the galaxy. ABC and Lucasfilm are in early talks to create a live-action television show based in the Star Wars universe. At the Television Critics Association's press tour, ABC Entertainment President Channing Dungey said of the possibility of a series, "As a fan, I would absolutely love to say yes. We have had conversations, and we will continue to have conversations with Lucasfilm. It would be wonderful to extend the franchise." ABC is owned by Disney, Lucasfilm's current owner. The Star Wars cartoon Rebels airs on Disney XD. Donald Glover addressed the rumors and petitions for him to play Lando Calrissian in the Han Solo movie. He spoke to Time about his role while promoting the series Atlanta. "Yep, there are rumors. I mean, I grew up on it. My dad was a big fan. I had all of the toys when I was little. I had a Darth Vader with the lightsaber he has. It was cool. It's a dynasty. It's like the Bible. I love that franchise." According to YouTube channel Star Wars Theory, a major spoiler for Episode 8 has been leaked. Many news outlets have reported on the supposed spoiler, which is about the connection between two characters. The Trash Compactor's spoiler policy prevents us from directly addressing the rumor, but we have linked to it in the show notes. We suggest all listeners take the rumor with a huge grain of salt. Star Wars Battlefront is releasing new DLC in September for PS4, Xbox One, and PC. The new content focuses on the Death Star. It includes new maps, weapons, and characters such as R2-D2, Chewbacca, and Bosk. EA will also be running a double score weekend in order to allow players to level up quickly from September 23rd to 25th. Jimmy Smits confirmed on the show The Talk he will be reprising his role of Senator Bail Organa in Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Smits appeared in Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith in the role of Princess Leia's adoptive father, who was a prominent member of the Rebellion prior to his death on Alderaan. One character who will not be appearing in Rogue One is the Emperor. At Amsterdam Comic Con, Ian McDiarmid confirmed he would not be making an appearance. McDiarmid played Palpatine in Return of the Jedi, the special edition of Empire Strikes Back, and all three prequel movies. Natalie Portman appeared on Jimmy Kimmel Live. She revealed her initial reason for appearing in Star Wars was to have something to show her future children. Now that she has a 5-year-old son, she doesn't want to show them to him because of the scene where she dies in childbirth, thinking it will frighten him. Lucasfilm announced Star Wars Rebels Season 3 will premiere on September 24th at 8:30 p.m. EST. The 1-hour premiere is entitled Steps into Shadow. Along with new promotional pictures, Lucasfilm revealed a synopsis. Having established a secret base on Atalan, the Ghost Crew, now led by the more powerful Ezra, strengthens the Rebel fleet by acquiring new resources and recruits eager to stand against the Empire. However, the Imperial efforts to eliminate the Rebellion are now being led by the coldly analytical Grand Admiral Thrawn, whose strategic, tactical, and cultural insights make him a threat unlike any they have faced before. In Season 3, Ezra and Sabine take on new roles and challenges as the Rebels prepare for their biggest mission yet, a direct assault on the Empire. It's with a heavy heart that we report that on August 13th, Kenny Baker, the man who brought R2-D2 to life, passed away at the age of 81, following a long illness. Baker was a circus and cabaret performer when he was hired by George Lucas to play R2-D2. He appeared in all 6 of the original and prequel movies, The Holiday Special, The Muppet Show, and The Star Tours Ride, and was credited as R2 consultant for The Force Awakens. His non-Star Wars work includes Flash Gordon, The Elephant Man, Time Bandits, Amadeus, Willow, and Labyrinth. He was predeceased by his wife Eileen, who passed away in 1993. He is survived by his sons, Christopher and Kevin. On behalf of the Trash Compactor podcast, we say to Kenny, the Force will be with you, always. That's all for the Trash Compactor news. Links to more information on the stories we've reported on can be found in the show notes. If you have any tips, email us at thetrashcompactorpodcast@gmail.com. When Luke Skywalker predicted a Dathomirian witch would have a strong and virtuous daughter, the galaxy had no idea how right he would be. Tenelka Chamta Dijo was born to Prince Isolder and Tenenil Dijo, becoming the heir to her father's kingdom of the Hapes Consortium. She chafed at the political and formal ways of her father, preferring the wild warrior ways of her mother's force-sensitive people, the daughters of Aaliyah. As a teenager, she studied at Luke Skywalker's Jedi Academy, becoming fast friends with Jason and Jaina Solo and Lubaka. She had a particularly close bond with Jason, who was always attempting to make her laugh, despite not understanding humor. Initially, she hid her royal status from them. When it came time to create her lightsaber, Tenelka chose to focus on training her body. When she realized how far she had fallen behind her friends, she rushed to complete her lightsaber. In her haste to create her lightsaber, she overlooked the flaws in the crystal and the fact her Rancor tooth hilt was too small to contain them. During her first sparring session with Jason, the unstable components of her lightsaber shorted out, causing Jason's blade to encounter no resistance and sever Tenelka's left arm above the elbow, the limb destroyed when the lightsaber blew up. Tenelka fell into a depression and returned to Hapes. She doubted whether becoming a Jedi was the correct path for her. Her friends came to Hapes to comfort her, finding out she was a princess. After an attempt was made on her life by assassins, Tenelka realized becoming a Jedi was the path she was truly supposed to follow. She refused to wear a prosthetic, instead choosing to learn to navigate the world with one arm. She assembled a second lightsaber, this time using a larger Rancor tooth and gems from the tiara of the royal princess of Hapes. Tenelka would train at the Jedi Academy, eventually becoming one of the most powerful fighters. During the Yuuzhan Vong War, she was a key figure in many battles. Her relationship with Jason would continue to deepen as the conflict went on. When Jason was believed to be dead, Tenelka realized she had been in love with him. Mourning the loss of Jason, Tenelka took her team to Hapes in order to recover. There, they were confronted by Hapen pirates who wished to assassinate her for choosing the path of the Jedi. Tenelka managed to survive, but her mother succumbed to poisoning. Tenelka became Queen Mother and used her new political position as well as her powers as a Jedi to fight the war. During this time, she would discover Jason was still alive. It would take 5 years for Tenelka and Jason to finally take the next step in their relationship. Tenelka became pregnant by Jason. In order to keep the child safe, she slowed the pregnancy using the Force and seduced several noblemen, causing great confusion as to who was the father. She gave birth to Elena and hid the child from everyone. Unbeknownst to Tenelka, Jason was giving over to the dark side. When his cousin Ben found out about the baby, Jason used the Force to erase his memory. He then put Tenelka's grandmother in a coma to erase her threat. While disturbed by his actions, Tenelka remained loyal to her lover. This loyalty would keep Tenelka from believing the revelation that Jason had become the Sith Lord Darth Kydus. In order to keep Tenelka and Alana safe, Jason had fully embraced the dark side. It was only when Jason's parents told her the truth that Tenelka finally accepted what had become of her lover. When Tenelka brought her fleet to Kashyyyk, where Kydus was destroying the forest, she demanded he surrender to her. He refused, and he felt Tenelka's anger towards him. Heartbroken that Tenelka would not stand by him, Kydus kidnapped Alana. During the campaign to rescue Alana, Han and Leia would finally discover she was their granddaughter. Despite his claim that he would murder Tenelka, Kydus balked at the Imperial allies creating a nanovirus that would destroy anyone of Hapen bloodline, and he killed Princess Solder in an attempt to stop them, but to no avail. While on her ship, the Dragon Queen, Tenelka heard Jason, not Kydus, scream out to her to escape her ship with Alana. She would then discover Jason had died in a battle with his sister. Knowing Alana would be kept in danger, Tenelka gave Alana to Han and Leia to raise, while she stayed on Hapes to act as Queen Mother. Now alone, but still powerful. Some huge topics, so let's just move on. I think the first one we're going to talk about is Rey ships. How do we feel about Rey ships? What do we ship?
Rey's kind of my bicycle. Like, I can ship her with everybody but General Hux, basically. So, and Snoke, of course, but whatever. That's
I agree.
I mean, I would say primarily it's Reylo and Finray, but like I will just read headcanons all day about other ships with her, and you know, I'll read fic all day, you know, so it doesn't really matter. Kind of happens when there's so few girls in a property
that
the girls kind of become the bicycle. That's true,
you know.
And the sad thing is, there are more girls in this one than there have been in times past.
Right. Rogue One is going to be interesting.
There's enough girls in this. There are actually Femslash ships.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, I walked out of the theater just absolutely in love with Finray. I just, I love them so much. But then I remembered what happened to me with A New Hope, and I'm like, that's not going to happen because... I mean, they're probably not siblings, but, you know, who can say? But honestly, and I say this and it usually gets me into trouble. I did not start shipping Raylo until the backlash against the ship started. I was like, la, 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 la. And I see all these posts going, how could you ship that? You're terrible. It's abusive. They're sibling or they could be cousins. How can you possibly ship that? And I'm like, well, I hadn't thought about it before.
That's the ship for me.
But golly, now that you think about it. And as I have said on episodes past, once I started down the slippery slope of, I don't care if they're cousins, I eventually remembered that I used to ship siblings and here I am. Mm. But yeah, it's one of those that if I wanted anything to be canon, it would be Finn and Rey for sure.
Definitely.
But shipping Rey and Kylo Ren is just too much fun. Like, there's just too much angst potential and drama and, but you're my enemy. Yeah. And that's too much fun. I love it.
You know, what's really funny too, is, you know, just thinking about, as far as Finn and Rey, and, you know, some people do talk about how, and I know I'm not saying that you said this, you know, but other people say that there's not potential for angst with Finn and Rey. And
well, there totally is.
Right. First of all, especially if they're separated, like mutual pining across a galaxy is pretty angsty, mm-hmm. you know?
Yes.
There's also the whole, you know, what path is Rey going to choose as far as her force sensitivity? And if Finn is force sensitive, what his path will be.
And I mean, we also don't know what Luke has done in terms of the Jedi Code.
Right.
I mean, because obviously in the EU, it's like, Jedi Code, what Jedi Code? I'm getting married. Yeah. We don't know what he's done with that in the new canon.
Yeah.
So she may be forced to be like, well, you know, I really love this guy, but if I decide to be a Jedi. Yeah.
They better not go that way, because I think that was the worst part of the...
I know, but fanfic-wise...
Well, I guess,
Wonderful.
I'm just saying that from the beginning in the prequels, when they had that poster where it was, like, Anakin and Padme, like, facing away from each other, and it's like, a Jedi's path, you know, cannot lead to love or whatever, I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me!
I was gonna say, 10 years later, MC's still bitter about the prequels.
Yes. Yeah, I think a lot of people. But yeah, as far as another thing where you get angst is just this idea, because a lot of people we talk about, like, Rey has potential to turn to the dark side. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there are plenty of enough clues in her story and her character and, you know, as far as the way the movies may go. Something like that right there. Oh my God, you know, she's flirting with the dark side. She's going down a path he cannot follow, you know, or even... or even flipping the script and we have force-sensitive Finn maybe, you know, dabbling in the dark side. Maybe both of them do. And then you get your nice dark, two dark characters ship, you know? Like, it's, there's so much potential there. And I think people think because the relationship is so sweet in the movie, for some reason, you know, aren't playing with their, letting their imagination sort of run with ways that if you are into angst, Finn and Rey can hurt you real bad. You know,
if you're not finding angst anywhere, you're not looking hard enough.
Yeah, and on a more mundane note, like, talk about two people who just, like, couldn't have had more different upbringings and therefore, like, would just pair up really weird. Like, there would be, like, an intense learning curve in terms of, like, I don't know, living together.
Which I wrote. Like, yeah, that's literally
yes,
I wrote.
Yes.
My first Finn-Rey fic is about them trying to cohabitate, and, you know, it's basically an odd couple situation. Like, even the title is yanked from a line from the odd couple. So,
oh, awesome.
Yeah, the two of them, like, he's in the military, and she basically was forced to be a hoarder because, you know, whenever you have so little, you hold on to every little thing you can because it might be useful.
Yeah, she was on her own for, like, 12 years, and he was raised to be a soldier. I would not be surprised if Finn has PTSD, like, up the wazoo. Like, waking up.
They both do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And has probably never really been alone a day in his life.
Yeah.
Like, he's not used to solitude, and she's not used to other people, and that's intense.
Wow, that's a good direction to go, too. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, okay, and to get away from like, the two obvious ships, there's also... Rey and Poe, although it seems like most people put them, like, in the OT3, which I'm like always all about the OT3, but
the OT3 is good, but I love the idea of Jedi pilot. I mean, obviously there's nothing really to base it on from the movie because they never actually meet in the movie. I love that.
There's a line in the novelization.
I know.
Oh my God.
I love that.
The novelization is, it's so cute. It's just like, oh.
It's adorable. Like,
I didn't even think about it as a ship until, as its own ship until.
Yeah.
Cause I always thought of it more as like a V where each of them was dating Finn. Mm-hmm. But
they have a serious
meet
cute. In the novelization.
But yeah, the novelization, it's just like, oh, wow, that's like a couple of lines, but now I'm intrigued.
I have a fic that I'm never going to get to write because I've got way too much stuff to do. So I'm just going to say the basic plot here. Basically, I have a Jedi pilot story where they cannot get along because they're basically acting like divorced parents over BB-8. Because, you know, BB-8 is definitely Poe's, but then Rey, adopted BB-8, and they're very close, so they're both fighting over BB-8, and so then BB-8 and Finn, like, have to play matchmaker with them, and it goes a little too well.
Oh my God, oh, it's wow. Like the Parent Trap.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah. BB-8 is a matchmaker, you know, that's canon from that.
Yes, story, that is.
The little comic, yeah.
From the Poe comic.
That reminded me, MC, I reblogged some really cute Finn Rey art one time where they had BB-8 in their little house and it was really cute. But my daughter, she saw it and she was like, that was really cute. But like, why did they kidnap BB-8? Because everybody kind of forgets
that he's
actually Poe.
BB-8 is Poe's and he's so fucking proud of that droid. He's like, only one like him in the galaxy. This is not exposition. I also, my dirty bad wrong, I really love Luke and Rey. I'm sorry. Part of me.
Hey.
I know.
We got Rex sent to us about that, yeah. So which we will include. Thank you for sending us the Rex.
Yeah. I, again, like Roan, I started shipping it because of all of the Reylo talk about, you know, well, you know, she might be his daughter, and so that, you know, would make Reylo cousins, so you guys are all bad for shipping it. And I was like, oh, you think that's bad? She's totally Luke's type.
She is.
Small,
she really
brunette,
is.
And
oh, no.
Possibly related to him.
Oh my God.
Which makes her even more his type. Sorry.
Yeah, oh. Exactly.
So,
there's actually a fic with that premise.
As far as Rey, like, this is one thing too, because MC and I have talked about this before, as far as people and their perceptions of Rey and her, sexual experience. We want to, like, MC, you want to talk about your headcanon?
Oh, yes.
Regarding Rey and sex?
Does anybody, remember the show Firefly? The Joss Whedon show?
Yes!
I think that Rey has a sexuality like Kaylee from that show. In that she gets hot by engines. So I have this idea of Rey going to like the spaceport and seducing, you know, all of the spacers who come in, and, you know, they will go have sex by the engine, and then, you know, maybe she'll take a few parts from their ship or something like that. Because, you know, she's a scavenger, so.
I like the idea of her sexuality being just that bright, sunshiny, guilt-free, whatever.
Yeah. I mean,
Rex, was it you I was talking to about how she would have just never learned shame for her body either?
Yeah.
Was that you?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like she didn't grow up with a bunch of bullshit to convince her to be ashamed mm-hmm. of things that, you know, there was no culture around her, so she missed all the bad parts of culture as well as the good parts.
Yeah, I think with race sexuality, it's really easy to do this because I did this, where it's so easy to view her as being so vulnerable, being on her own,
mm-hmm.
that it's really easy to want to make her withdrawn and innocent only because she's defended that to the death, possibly on occasion, mm-hmm. like to keep from being a victim. I've seen a lot of people that write her as having been a victim, especially of sexual violence, which
and trafficking
is not,
too, as I've seen as well.
Yeah. I mean, that I go on, people, and write the thing you want to write, but oh, that really hurts. Like, I don't want to think about that.
Yeah, I just don't want that.
Yeah.
No.
But I think I got so caught up in her being completely innocent that it didn't occur to me that it could have gone the other way. And that's, I like that. That seems like more her somehow.
I mean, yeah. I definitely think she's guarded. I mean, she's sneaking out of there before the dude wakes up, or the girl, because, you know, because of course my Ray is bi.
It's space. Everyone is bi in space. Yes.
She's guarded. I mean, obviously when she, you know, like meets Finn, she's, you know, just like smacking him around with that staff. But that doesn't mean that she has to not, you know, she's got itches that need to be scratched. And, you know, why not, you know, there's going to be people coming in who aren't going to stay around. So, you know, she doesn't need to, you know, it just needs to be like a one night thing.
Oh, come on. She could totally engineer a vibrator.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's that, too.
I assume she has.
That's true.
My big Rey ship is Reylo, because Kylo is my little black dress, or my bicycle. but Rey is definitely, and the thing that sold me on that, I didn't start shipping it because of the fan rate. I was shipping it as soon as I left the theater, and it was just because, like, there was so much palpable rage between them, and then that's what gets me every time. There was just this, like, visceral, like, I fucking hate you, and I was like, all right, well, I know what I'm going to be searching for on the internet as soon as I get home.
I think the thing with me and Reylo is I love the idea of Reylo, and I mean, as I've mentioned in, I've mentioned before that I come from Harry Potter fandom, in which one of the biggest ships is Harry and Draco. So, and I've also come from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where Buffy and Spike was a huge ship, which eventually became canon. So I'm kind of used to the whole, like, you know, enemies becoming lovers. So the idea of Rey and Kylo not being a valid ship is just mind-boggling to me, because of course they hate each other, and sometimes you hate someone so much you just have to fuck them.
Yep. It seems perfectly natural and logical to me. I don't know what's wrong with it.
I mean, it's a common enough fictional trope that, like, I mean, I don't have ever experienced that so much in real life. You know, but
it's
such a common fictional trope that, like, to me, it was really funny because I didn't come out of the theater. I came out of the theater just so full of Finray's sunshine. And it didn't occur to me for a long time that Reylo was even a thing, because it's never, like, you know, like antagonistic sort of ships have been before, you know, the love to hate each other or whatever. You know, I was a huge Chuck and Blair shipper on Gossip Girl. So I should have, like, seen it coming, but, like, I don't know, it didn't even occur to me until one of my friends really started shipping it, and then I started, because of that, started noticing all the hate, which intrigued me, and then when I finally got into it, I was like, oh, this is fantastic! But it's still, like, I never really understood why people acted like it was just the most mind-boggling thing in the world, because it's literally, there's so many, especially, you know, there's so many hero-villain ships in other franchises and properties that it just, like, oh, it's another hero villain ship, you know, like, and there are heroes and villains who've done worse to each other than Kylo and Rey do to each other in The Force Awakens, and I'm pretty certain they're going to do even worse to each other before it's all over.
And
yeah,
Kylo's fucking intrigued by her. Like, I mean, he's fighting with her, but he's also like, come on, come over here and I'll teach you things.
Yep.
Before we move on, I wanted to bring up, I know fandom really, there's a section of fandom that really likes the idea of Rey as a lesbian.
I'm totally down with it.
Oh my gosh, all the fan art.
Oh my god, I wish we had more Jess and like in the movie at all. Mm-hmm. I get these feelings too, like, because I'm so in love with the character of Corsella in Bloodline, and I think about how she would have been 22 or 23 years old, and so I think of her with either Finn or with Rey, or both of them, like, if she had just gotten to live, like, I think there's this alternate universe where, you know, she had already ended her mission and left Hosnian Prime, or, you know, they had not gotten there yet by the time that the system was destroyed, and so she lives because she's this beautiful character. Like, I just wish there were more options.
That would be,
like,
amazing.
Obviously, Phasma's a good option. I think it's hypocritical, real hypocritical, when people will ship Rey with Phasma and then go
complain
shit on
about
Reylo shippers.
Reylo, yeah.
But whatever. I know it can be different. I mean, there's not much choice, though, in terms of FF ships. So, you know.
There's also, oh crap, what's her name? Carrie Fisher's daughter.
Kadel Ko Connix.
Connix, that's
right. Connix, yes, she is a lieutenant. Kadel Ko Connix, yes.
See, I think that would be really cute.
Oh yeah, that would be adorable.
And then, of course, there is also Rey and Leia.
Boy, you're about the age difference ships, aren't you?
Well, I didn't say that I shipped it. I'm just saying that it's a possibility. And, you know, also it would be, you know, if I'm bringing up Rey and Luke, it would be sexist if I didn't bring up Rey and Leia too.
This is true.
It'd be
and
like,
somebody,
like Sarah Paulson and Holland Taylor.
Yes,
sort of little fun thing going on there. Yeah, I think that's about. No, I think it's a bigger age difference, but whatever, doesn't matter. It's still sexy.
I don't know, but I know I'm gonna go look for some fanfic when we're done with this.
Okay, and I guess since I brought up both Luke and Leia, bring up Han. Like, I mean, I'm not saying, like, even as a, you know, ship choice, maybe as a ship choice, but obviously Rey's relationship with Han plays a huge part in Rey's story in the movie.
Oh yeah. Oh, I have a lot of feelings about that. I really do. I really spent the first time I saw this movie going, is she his kid? Like, seriously?
Oh, yeah.
Is she his kid? And I've pretty much decided that she probably wasn't, but that relationship was so instant and so strong, and it was impossible not to draw the connections back to him picking up another crazy desert kid.
Yeah.
And it was just, oh, my heart. It's very full right now. I love those two.
Yeah, I guess I've never, one of the reasons why Han came to mind so late in terms of shipping is because I've never heard of anybody shipping Rey and Han, just because that relationship is so parental in the movie. And you have Kylo even saying that, you know, you think of him as the dad you never had, he'd disappoint you.
Well, I think another perfectly valid ship for Rey is no ship. I mean,
very true.
When I first started writing fanfic for The Force Awakens, I really struggled with that because I was caught up in that notion of, no, this is something she's avoided, you know, for her own safety for like the first 19 years of her life. I really was like, maybe she's just not into it. Maybe she is asexual. Maybe she's like, meh, not so much. So, I mean, that's a really interesting idea for me too. And obviously, if the Jedi Code is still in effect, so to speak, that's going to make life much easier for her. But
yeah.
who wants easy? Give us angst.
Yes. Okay, so this all works really well with this. It's what do we think is going to happen with Rey in episode 8 and episode 9?
Jedi training! I'm so excited.
Yeah, I haven't thought much beyond Jedi training.
Me neither.
I have no idea. I have no idea what they're going to do. Like, I think that the temptation will be there as far as the dark side. I think she's definitely going to go up against Kylo Ren again, and that he might win. You know.
Well, there are indications that that is a possibility, yes.
Yeah.
Is she going to lose a hand? It's tradition.
Someone's going to. It always happens in the second movie.
Yeah. My bet is more on Kylo losing a hand or some sort of limb, I think.
Mm.
But
well, because it'll make him more Vader-like too if he starts losing limbs now.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Is he just going to get more and more jacked up with each movie, like each
subsequent installment? I totally bet that's the case.
Right. No, and my whole theory is, like, I think a lot of, like, I'm going to base a lot of my theories on how his story will proceed based on how fucked up he gets. Like, the size of his scar is going to tell me a lot going in.
Like, totally.
Yeah, if it's disfiguring, I think that will say a lot about, you know, that will push me more towards the Renperor theory. Like,
you know,
it might not be a great indicator, a great litmus test, but that's just what I'm doing. Like, you know, if he's still pretty,
if it's a picturesque scar. What they do. Yeah.
Yes, and that's the way that it was put on his, not only is it very, like, it's so heavy-handedly symbolic since it, like, literally bisects his face, but, like, also, it was very conveniently did not take out his eye, you know, apparently. Looks like it didn't fuck up his mouth, you know, downright so it surgical. Could be a very, yeah, it could be a very picturesque scar that doesn't actually, like, kind of like Anakin's, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, looking at, yeah, that's just going to be one of my clues as to what's going to happen with him.
Yeah, I call it Tyrion Lannister TV show versus Tyrion Lannister book, so... For those of you who know Game of Thrones.
Yes.
I agree that temptation's going to play a role with Rey. Because, I mean, definitely. But there's some anger in her, and that's got to be worked with. And if you look at the book, then you have, like, Snoke telling her to kill Kylo.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think that was Snoke? Because I didn't get that impression at all. I thought it was just like random insider voice.
Yeah, I thought it was Snoke. It's such a... you always have that moment in the hero's journey where, you know, they've got to make a decision. And you had it with Luke in the Return of the Jedi when he's about to strike down his dad and he just looks at his hand and he looks at his dad's hand and he makes the decision not to do it. But yeah, we've got to have something with Rey where she has to make the choice between good versus evil, because otherwise it's not a story of good versus evil.
Yeah, she's got to be tempted, and like tempted, like sorely tempted, not just... You know, because in the case of with Kylo, it's like she's technically justified in killing him. You know, not only is he an enemy combatant, but, you know, it's self-defense in a way, even though he's down. But like, you know, something that tempts her where it's not immediately just like life or death.
She could just see Kylo Ren shirtless, because I got to tell you, that would tempt me towards the dark side.
I'm just reminding me of what I was talking about, like, the fan service that we need real bad. I'm like, we've got to see Finn's scar, right?
Because, yes!
You know, I mean, it's totally not even just to see him shirtless. No! We need to see his scar. And then
it's,
I'm like,
for the story.
Really, it's totally for the story.
It's and, like, absolutely
totally
for the story.
Need to see, you know, what that bowcaster actually did to Kylo Ren's side. Like, you know, that's just necessary.
Fuck it. I just want to see Adam Driver's titties.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Word. Also, we gotta have a Bacta tank in movie
yes!
number two.
Yes. There must be a Bacta tank.
Yeah, and then, I mean, it sucks, but I wouldn't mind, you know, a little crop top training montage with Rey.
Is Luke on her back or not?
I don't know.
Is he pulling the whole Yoda thing?
I'm just going to sit here and not say it. I'm sorry. Anyway, we have the picture that they took.
That may be my favorite thing I've ever seen on the internet.
I know!
Yeah.
I love them both so much.
I'm trying to think of some other stuff that I would like in episode 8 or 9. I want Rey and Poe to talk to each other.
Yes!
That would be really nice.
Okay. Here is my thing. Now, we were talking earlier, and I was going to say this then and I forgot, about how they're going to split people up the way they did in the second one for the first two trilogies.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll notice in the first two trilogies, whoever goes with the girl that winds up being the romantic pairing.
Ooh, true.
So it's really curious who Rey is going to wind up, or if it'll be Finn and Poe that end up going off together while Rey is off training. Yeah. You know, if this pattern is going to hold true.
Yeah, that makes quite a bit of sense for Finn. If you know, Rey is spending a majority of her arc training.
So she's going to go off and train, and they're going to go off and fall in love? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Wanted to make sure that works for me.
Or if it winds up that the training is over really quick and we don't actually get the whole movie isn't about her training. If she winds up basically whoever is unless they split the story into three, which I can't imagine that they would. Mm-hmm. But whoever winds up with who, I mean, history says that's going to be the romantic pairing in movie three.
Well,
so
not to, you know, I have to bring this up. I don't think this is a spoiler because we actually had it in our news segment two episodes ago. But Adam Driver was filming with Mark Hamill and Daisy Ridley in Ireland when they were doing the training stuff. So
he has, and I have seen spoilers to suggest what's going on with that, which I won't go into.
Okay. But you can tell me about it later.
Yes, I will.
And this is totally shallow, and there's no purpose for it other than the fact that I want it. I want to see Rey wearing a full X-Wing outfit.
Yes.
Oh, you know how I feel about that orange jumpsuit. Yes, please.
Yes.
Yeah.
You guys, I hate the color orange. I hate
it. It works so well.
Unless it's that jumpsuit.
Yeah, that jumpsuit just works, and it wouldn't work in another color. It's just, yes.
I don't have any predictions for episodes 8 and 9 other than I think Rey's training segment is going to do double duty with a sort of like, we're going to have to change everything we thought we knew about the Force kind of thing. Ooh, so like whatever Luke Skywalker has been up to for the last however many decades he's been wandering the galaxy and looking into Jedi stuff and whatever he's been learning and doing, I think it's going to be crazy. And so I think like as he's teaching her, we're going to find out all of these things.
I can totally
that's
see
my
that.
That's my very banal prediction.
Okay, well, predictions, do you have any like wishes, like, you know, it can be a pony if you want.
Right. Well, I second the crop top thing.
Like, yeah. I think that because Daisy Ridley worked so hard to get those abs that, like, you know, and this isn't, I mean, and yeah, and I know there's the whole issue with, like, the gratuitous showing of Natalie Portman's abs in Attack of the Clones, right? You know, which sucked. That was so obvious. But just some natural way to show off Daisy Ridley's abs would be real nice. Mm. You know?
Yeah, I mean, if she's, like, working hard,
doesn't
you
have
know,
to be but, her slave yeah. outfit, as Carrie Fisher puts it. You know, it's just...
I would be happy just to... I would be happy to put her just in, like, the tank top equivalent from Dagobah. I mean, you know, show off the arms.
Oh, yeah. Wait. I thought of something I wanted to do. I want her to build a lightsaber.
Yes!
Yes!
Oh, yes! Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. The staff thing, I think everyone pretty much agrees they want her to have a staff.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, and I was talking to somebody about this too. It's like, okay, not only like her building a saber staff, but then whenever she and Kylo have their big matchup, you can tell that he has predicted that that's what she'll do, and so he's adjusted his fighting style to like go up against a saber staff.
Also really weird, but I kind of want Rey to have an unconventional saber color. I don't want it to be purple.
Like, yeah.
Yellow. But I don't... Yeah, yellow would actually be really cool. But... Because, I mean, like, there's too much blue and green. And purple is... You know, we already did our Mary Sue topic at the beginning of the show, and that would not help at all. Only Mary Sue's have purple lightsabers unless their names are Samuel L. Jackson. So
I was gonna say that Mace Windu is a Mary Sue.
I know. So does anybody have any final thoughts on Rey?
Yeah.
I dig her.
Rey's She's not a Mary Sue. Oh, yes. I want to talk about the Mary Sue thing real quickly because I just read Aftermath, right? Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking during it, I was like, look at Timon Wesley, right? Timon's.
Oh my God. Wesley. He is a freaking Mary Sue.
He's like the Wesley Crusher of Star Wars.
Yeah. If but I love he him. Were like the protagonist of a movie, would people be saying he was a Mary Sue?
No.
No, because but he's also, a fat bearded like, guy.
Well, and he's
but not in Aftermath.
And, yeah, he's 14 and his mother describes him as lanky. Okay. But, like, yeah, no, he's a technical genius. He's great at, you know, he was 14 and runs a freaking, like, black market shop. You know, he picks up piloting like nothing. He and his friends used to run around the rooftops, and he has, like, the underground and the rooftops of his city memorized. Like, it's great. And, I mean, it is. Like, I think it's explained, just like the way it's explained with Rey. Why? Because it's just part of his way of surviving, because his parents are both gone. But I was really thinking about that. It's like, there's not that much difference in these two characters.
No, there's really not.
And except that one is, well, I mean... I started to think, is Snap Wexley force sensitive? Because damn.
You know? It actually really sounds like he's a less annoying version of Anakin from The Phantom Menace.
That is remarkably accurate. Yes. Except he's older.
Well, yeah, but only by like 4 years. So.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Cause he builds a droid. He builds a murder droid instead of a protocol droid. But yeah. And I think that like, I was really thinking about that and I was like, this is just the kind of, we just accept this kind of character when they're teenage boys. You know,
nobody accepted Wesley Crusher. Sorry.
But he's I like Wesley Crusher. I don't care.
Actually, so do I, but that's in a completely different podcast, which we are not doing.
But yeah, he's even 5 years younger than Rey in Aftermath than Rey is in The Force Awakens. And I'm just like, you know, come on. Like the Mary Sue stuff, it just, I'm so tired of arguing about it too, because it just seems to me, it was so obvious to me. They took the time to explain where she got all of her skills.
Because they had to, yeah.
Somehow
it's way just more like, than they ever did with Luke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Somehow it's just like unbelievable. I'm like, yeah. Anyway, that was just, yeah.
No, agreed. Fair enough. So I think this was a very productive roundtable. I think we got, well, maybe not productive because it just kind of devolved into... Daisy Ridley's hot, but you know, that's productive in its way.
I think most of our roundtables at this point have devolved into somebody is hot.
Yes.
That's what I'm here for.
Last time it was Kenobi, I'm sure, and Luke, because I was on it. it's just part of our thing.
But I would like to thank Roan and April and our special guest, Rex, so
thanks for having me.
Yeah, this was great. Faster than the speed of the light, she's flying, trying to remember where it all began. She's got herself a little piece of head. I crash my car into the bridge.
For this episode, I have a trio of videos to recommend. I will probably be murdered by my co-host for giving this rec, but for an episode about Rey, I would be remiss if I didn't talk about Roan's wonderful Rey videos. The first, History Has Its Eyes on You, is the touching story of Luke looking at his past and onto the future in Rey. It works both as a video portraying Rey as a Skywalker, or just as Rey as his student. The song from the musical Hamilton fits perfectly, creating a stirring, epic thread from Luke to Rey. The second, I Am the Fire, tells the story of Rey and Finn discovering who they are truly supposed to be, heroes in the Resistance. The strong beat and apt lyrics let you know how powerful these two characters are. Finally, we have the Star Wars Ultimate Saga trailer from Dylan Trost. This video will leave you saying, I'm not crying, it's just raining in front of my computer screen. Going from The Phantom Menace all the way up to the end of The Force Awakens, the movies are strung together in an epic trailer, laying out that this story is all about legacy.
Hi, this is Roan, and for my recommendation this month, I wanted to point out a quiet, painful short fic by our own April, who goes by Diet Plain Light on AO3. called The Native Hue of Resolution. It's a Raylo fic if you squint, but it focuses mainly on the unwelcome force bond that's formed between Rey and Kylo Ren as a result of their interactions on Starkiller Base. It's one of those fics that has a lovely, subtle sort of emotion to it, and in seeing Rey observing Kylo, we learn as much about her as we do about him. April packs a lot of emotions into a short 1,600 words, in passages like this. And yes, it is still there. Rey has felt it, no matter how hard he's tried to kill it. No matter how hard he's tried to keep her from the nooks and crannies of his being where it lingers. When Rey is curious enough to initiate contact, he curls around them, surrounding them with horrors he's dreamed of and those he's committed, in an effort to scare her away. As though he's afraid that by finding it, she'll draw it out. Stretch and expand it. Weave a very blanket of light and cover him in it. She wants to tell him she's as incapable of doing that as she is of severing this tie they have, whatever it is. We're left not knowing what's to come for the two of them, but knowing that it's probably not good. This is really my favorite sort of fic about Rey and Kylo, whether it's romantic or not, because I'm an absolute sucker for the sort of relationship where they're drawn to each other, even though they both know that it's awful, and unhealthy, and likely to end badly. The Native Hue of Resolution is exactly what you want to read if you want a short, poetic, painful look at Rey's inner life post The Force Awakens. But I'm a 90s bitch. I love it! Well, that's about it for episode 4 of the Trash Compactor podcast. We hope you enjoyed our rather long look at Rey as a character, and especially us cackling about ships and Adam Driver, I'm pretty sure, gets a couple mentions in there still.
Yeah, we definitely enjoyed doing it. That's why it was a two-parter.
Yeah, and next month we are going to be talking about, we're going to have kind of another shipping focused episode. We're going to be talking about rare pairs, which I know is kind of a strange place for us to start talking about ships, but
except it's really awesome.
Well, it's awesome, and all of us pretty much have rare pairs.
We have rare pairs, so. And also it was the most diplomatic way to start with talking about shipping.
Yes. And we have a couple of very special guests that you will hear about next month. I'm looking forward to having you guys hear that. We already have that one recorded. We're a step ahead. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but for this month, if there's a ship for Rey that we missed, if you think that there's someone she should be hooking up with that we don't know about, let us know.
Yes.
If you don't like the people that we had her hook up with, don't let us know, because we are very ship friendly here. We don't rule out any ships necessarily, even if they're not to our personal taste.
But no ship hates. No ship hating.
No ship hate. No. Yeah. No ship hate. No theory hate. We're kind of here for everything.
Yes.
But yes, tell us your. I know somebody out there, and I'm so sorry we didn't. I don't think we got to Leia and Boba Fett, but. Which, in light of our spoiler conversation, is kind of hilarious. But yeah, send us information about whatever ships you wish we had talked about. Sure. Send us fic recs. Whatever you got, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, you can drop us a line at Tumblr at trashcompactorpodcast.tumblr.com. We're also on Twitter at SWTrashPodcast. Or you can visit us on our website, trashcompactorpodcast.com. Or there's also email, thetrashcompactorpodcast@gmail.com.
So that's all we have for this month. We'd like to thank our special guest, Rex Luskus, for being on the very, very long Rey panel with us. And as always, April, who's always great.
Before we go, we would really like to say a fond farewell to Kenny Baker, R2-D2.
Yeah, it's just...
It's just so, you know, I could not believe it when I heard it, and
I think this is one of the first of like the main cast members yeah. that we've lost. So it's really kind of it was kind of shocking.
Yeah, it really was, and it really hit everybody so hard. And just from us at the Trash Compactor podcast, we just really want to say that, you know, to quote Mark Hamill, he was the droid we were looking for.